in our travels, Monica and I have come across two places that were exceptional. They're exceptional to me because they're the only two places on the earth that affected me, Mr. Dents. And the first one, in the order that we discovered it, was Tasmania. Now, if you don't know where that is, it sounds like it's an exotic place. Tasmania is like an island. It's a small continent, as far as I'm concerned, at the bottom of Australia. It's separated. There's water all around it with a strait between it and the continent of Australia. And it is it's almost untouched. A town named Hobart is down there, and you might have heard of that. And I'm a Californian, didn't travel very much. I never had heard of it until I went to Australia. Then I got to see it on the map. Then I started asking Monica about it to have a Cryon event there. We had to go test it out, of course, and did. And we're going to have a Cryon event there in, I think it's going to be next year, for basically Australians or anybody who wants to come. Tasmania is just filled with rainforests. And I actually posted on, I think it was either Facebook or wherever, a little video I had done of the rainforest there. And I love rainforest, where everything is green, green, green. We went down there, and it was just the two of us. And she couldn't get me out of it. And the reason was, and I told her later, I kept seeing things. And it was absolutely pristine. You could hear a little brook running through it. And the trees are covered with velvet. You've been in a velvet green, moss, algae, all of these things. And you've probably been in places like that. I'd never really been in a place like that that was so pristine. And what I saw there were, it wasn't shapes or anything, it was lights. Lights. L-I-T, L-I-G-A-L, never mind. And I continued to see them, and they were out of the corner of my eye. And you know, you do this double take, you know, when you're looking and you want to see it. Here comes the sun. And I kept seeing them, and this is why she couldn't get me out of it, because I knew something was happening. That's the first time I ever was greeted by Gaia, where I was alone, I wasn't with a group, and I actually saw something. Lights is common. And the people who have gone to Mount Shasta in California will claim some of the same things. Now, I know Dr. Wolf has gone there many times apart from us, and she's had seminars and groups, and she knows the mountain pretty well. And she'll say the same thing. We've had others who have gone alone on the mountain, and what they see is lights. Lights where they shouldn't be, both at night and the daytime. So, you know, you could say, well, there's something going on there. Yeah, it is Gaia energy that is so strong, it manifests itself so we can see it. Now, I'm convinced that not everybody sees the same thing. That brings me to the next one, a place we've been twice, I always wanted to go, and that has attributes that Cryon channeled about right before we went, and that's Ireland. And Ireland is specific because of something that is, you might say, measurable scientifically, eventually. Have you heard of the Bermuda Triangle? Yes. Okay. What goes on there? I mean, truly, what is it that would screw up compasses, that would get people lost, and all of this? And that is partly magnetism. In other words, there is a magnetic grid anomaly. Now, Cryon channeled it from Cork, and you can go find that in 2015 or 2016 on my website, and it's the full explanation. And it's where the various grids of the planet, including the crystalline grid that is very esoteric, the magnetic grid, which you can measure, the Gaia grid, which is also esoteric, overlap in a way that they create a void. If you're into science, you know there are certain frequencies that will void each other out. And if you have certain wavelengths, they'll void each other out for what they call a sum zero. And so you'll have an absence of an energy because of a plethora of other energies that void them. So it's almost like a spot on the planet that is pristine and is void of some of the grids we're used to, or at least disturb them. Ireland, especially Southern Ireland, has exactly that. In fact, the tradition of the Irish is little people and leprechauns. And it isn't just a few. We were told that, you know, farmers that are there that you would never think would talk about fairies or anything else are consulting fairyologists in order to know where to plant the crops and all. As you drive through the landscape, especially of Southern Ireland, you'll see fairy trees. Now, that's a specific kind of a tree. They'll be right out in the middle of the field. They never touch them. They're called fairy trees. And there's certain reasons Monica will tell you because she remembers everything. And this is Ireland. And when you think that there is an absolute mythological tradition of seeing little people or fairies or whatever, it tells you there's probably more there than just mythology. It's there today. And you go into shops, they have fun with it. You can buy little fairy doors that you put on trees and all things. Here comes the sun. But it is profound. Now, I didn't get to see them. But you know they're there. Now, if you say, well, what are they? Ireland is specific. It's like the Bermuda Triangle. It has an absence of what is called the crystalline grid. It has anomalies that are magnetic and known for that. GPSs don't necessarily work there. So it's a very special land. Why is it raining and sunning at the same time? I don't understand. Yeah, because it can. And so I wanted to tell you, those are the two places on the planet where I felt it, and it really affected me. And so there, everywhere we go, we have different kinds of experiences. And it's so interesting. So what do we have here? Because this is pretty pristine too, isn't it? This is lovely. Coming up the hill, did you see the view we got? Yeah. Where the clouds were below us? I love it. Airline pilots have a saying, it's always a nice day above the clouds. Yeah. And you probably have pulled out of a stormy area, got above the clouds, and the sun was out. You know, you say, wow. So that's what I wanted to tell you, is just a little more about Gaia that we have experienced and some of the things. And we're not done. So as we go to various areas and I go back to Tasmania, I'll be looking for those kinds of events. If I can feel them, anybody can. No, it's really, really true, right? So what I want to do now is, Monica, did you have any more to say that you would like to? And then we'll go to Amber, and then we'll have a little channel.
So Blair was just saying that Cherokees also have legends of little people here as well. Yeah. So I guess one of the things that really connected me with the Cryon work is the meld of science and spirituality. And spiritual systems that feel the love of God are great, but spiritual systems that feel the love of God and tell you intimate details about how that physically works and connects, to me, is absolute magic. And that's the missing piece of the puzzle that I never had. I was always in love with Gaia. I spent over 15 years in the national parks, and every day I would go out and I would connect with the earth, and then I would feel really, really bad about what the humans were doing to wreck it. Scientists have even said that they need about 80% of the population to die in order to give Gaia a chance. Does that make spiritual sense? No. So there is a partnership there, and there's more to the story that I discovered when I started reading the information from Cryon. And the whole reason for the Gaia life force that we feel is because of the divine sanctioned humans that were created by the Pleiadians 200,000 years ago. So there is a system set up that involves you as the centerpiece around this whole story. So that's why every time you have an epiphany and a connection, it goes into the dirt of the earth via a system, which is the crystalline grid, the cave of creation, and the magnetic grid, and it's amplified and broadcast back to humanity. So I loved the message this morning where we've got help in ways that we never had before. People that are out there being activists to take care of our precious planet, to take care of our precious water, to take care of our precious forests and gardens, to be careful and mindful with our waste management. All of these things are starting to evolve, and I'm seeing changes on a global scale that will continue. My last piece is talking about solutions we haven't got yet. What happens when you have a society where consciousness is able to control and manifest resources that we need? These are the solutions that are so out of the box that we don't think about how this is going to change our environmental problems. So there is hope. Things are changing. Things are coming. Keep holding that in your heart. Keep embracing the love that you feel from the planet and push it back to the planet. Allow it to push back into your heart. And we are creating a new future that we've never ever seen on the planet. So thank you.
Some of you know I work with Greg Braden, and he's very up on what's coming in the way of new ways of producing electricity, so we don't have to be on the grid because of the coming cold spell, the creating water, our own fresh water, a lot of it out of the atmosphere, like the weather does. It's doable. It's possible. So we are not then in drought and all of the things of this nature. These are the kinds of things that are coming. They're here already in a form that is being experimented with. I'm going to call Dr. Wolf. Where are you?
My happy place is here in the woods. And if you look at any of my posts on Facebook and Instagram, it's always me with a big smile and something natural behind me. When Monica was living with me for 3 years, we used to take these beautiful Gaia walks first thing in the morning if it was summer, and at midday when the sun was high if it was winter. But more and more in this new energy, I feel the appreciation of Gaia for us. And I didn't grow up feeling that. I grew up appreciating Gaia and living in nature. I was brought up on a lake in Connecticut, and I lived in Maine in the wilderness, and I lived in British Columbia, and I lived in Alaska for 10 years, and I've lived in Colorado for 28 years. So it's a thing for me, but it's only been, the past 5 maybe so years that it's been feeling Gaia appreciate us. So before the channel, I would like to invite you into a state of appreciation. So if you feel like you can stand and close your eyes or sit and close your eyes. And again, just take a couple of nice full breaths and let yourself drop into a place of inner stillness and inner connection. We can hear the birds. And hear the rain, hear the thunder in the distance, and feel the appreciation of Gaia coming up through the ground into us as she holds us, as she supports us, because we are part of her creation. We come from the dirt of the earth. We are the crystalline structure. And her arms are around us, especially in a spot like this where we're surrounded. We can just feel with each breath the oneness of being with her, the oneness of the creative life force that flows through us, that flows through Gaia. And she says, thank you for being my stewards. Thank you for your appreciation. And in return, I appreciate you back. And I hold you in my green arms. And I cover you with my white and gray and blue sky, with my rain. I shine my sun on you. I grow food for you. I open the pathway for you to find the love in yourself, that I see in you. And know that we breathe the same breath together. As you breathe in, the earth breathes in. As you breathe out, our beloved Gaia breathes out, saying, thank you. I love you. Thank you. I love you.
Greetings, dear ones. I'm Cryon of Magnetic Service. We stand again in nature, in a beautiful field of green, and the sun again is shining on us. It's a time of reflection and honoring that not everyone gets. We have said before that the few affect the many. This recording will be heard by thousands. Do you think it's possible that right now you could imbue the honoring of the planet and how you're feeling into that recording? And the answer is yes. And the reason is that consciousness is starting to be seen as a quantum energy. The beginnings of the study of consciousness are upon us. And there are those scientists on the planet that are now starting to realize that consciousness itself is part of the existence of everything. It is not something that is ethereal, it is measurable, it affects that which is matter, and it has power. I want you to do something right now, a thought perhaps, an exercise, perhaps, and a remembrance of something I have said before. I want you to take a deep breath. Where is the oxygen coming from? It may surprise you. Photosynthesis is the process where that which is green, in general, takes that which you breathe out and uses it to create what you breathe in. It is a symbiosis that is profoundly for the animals of Earth, and that is you. Did you know that most of the oxygen on the planet is not created by trees, but from algae and fungi? But it is created. It pours out for you. Dear ones, science will tell you that in discovery of historic planet Earth, that life is probably, according to science, a natural occurring event. This is something that might be controversial to those who are spiritual in organizations that are spiritual. But if this is so, that means that life would be naturally occurring all over the galaxy. Certain chemistry, certain amino acids, lightning, electricity, in a certain form, over a period of time, will create life. On this planet, it was created and snuffed out four times in a microbial fashion before photosynthesis was developed. And then it stayed. Check the books, check the science. It is interesting, is it not, that it had to start that many times before it became correct and proper. That was the beginning of more than microbial life. It was generated then into what you see today with the variations you see today, eventually with the animals, eventually with the humans, and eventually to a place where literally consciousness could be changed. That is the creation story. What part did Gaia have in that? It is the seeds of your existence. You sit in a field of green. Does it talk to you? It's been here a long time. Does it congratulate you? Does it know you? Those who spend a lot of time in nature will say yes to every one of those. Known by God, known by Mother Earth, the birther of life itself, and interested in you. Dear ones, as you walk among the trees, is there a feeling, perhaps, of acknowledgement of who you are? There would be those who walk among the trees and sense them that would even give them names. It's a different kind of consciousness. It's not human consciousness. But those who have studied plants and perhaps the esoterics of them would say that plants even have what some would call memory, emotion, sentient. In a different way, their life is here. The oldest living things on the planet are trees. Is it possible that they have something to say to you in all of their wisdom? These are not things that simply are for a channel in the middle of a grassy field. These are things that are important for you to ponder, think of, maybe even change your attitude as you stop and look at the forest, as you enjoy the sunlight, as you celebrate the rain that literally waters that which feeds you and lets you breathe. The relationship between the earth and the human being is so astonishing. And again, even if you live in the city, stop and breathe and realize that this comes from the forest, from Gaia. It's time to start honoring Gaia for this and more, as the ancients did, as the indigenous did. And as you begin the honoring process, more will show itself. It always does. It always will. The process builds on itself and becomes more profound. This is always the invitation of Kryon with any group that stands in the field, anywhere on the planet, and enjoys the oxygen, yet again, that is given to you by Gaia. Welcome to a partner. It's not a partner with no name. It's Mother Earth, named appropriately for the birthing that it gave to life itself. And so it is.